Hey, good morning, Preston Wood. So glad you're here this morning. Would you stand and worship with us? It's good to see all of you this morning. That's in the blood. This future grace that's mine today, that Jesus Christ has won. So I can face tomorrow, for tomorrow's in your hands. All I need you will provide, just like you always. I'm fighting the battle you've already won. No matter what comes my way, I will overcome. I don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done. I'm fighting battle you've already won.
There's mercy in the waiting, manna for today. And when he's gone, I know you're not. You are my. Your spirit is my help. He'll fix my eyes on Jesus Christ, and I'll say that it is well.
Oh, I know that.
I know how the story ends. you happy to be here this morning? It's good to be in the house of the Lord, and it is awesome to be joined on our platform by our student worshipers. Isn't it so good to have them in the room? Welcome to Prestonwood. My name is Caleb. I'm one of your worship pastors. Before we do anything else today, why don't you find someone close to you that you have not said good morning to yet and say hello to them.
Good morning, Prestonwood. Welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. My name is Scott Seal. I'm the executive director of PowerPoint Ministries. PowerPoint Ministries is Prestonwood's pulpit to the world. What we get to witness each and every day, just look around you, thousands of people get to witness what God is doing in Prestonwood every single week. I have the distinct pleasure of taking that message and spreading it around the world that our pastor preaches every single week. For 30 years now, we are celebrating 30 years of PowerPoint this year. Very good. And as we celebrate PowerPoint, the one thing that I want you to know is that things started small for us. It started at our old building at Hillcrest and Arapahoe in 1994. And the Bible talks about do not despise the days of small things. Start it early. We're building this property. We've been here 25 years. That's another celebration we'll have this year. But as we started PowerPoint Ministries, we knew, as Pastor and Deb had a vision of what God wanted to do with the message of Christ through this pulpit, we wanted to take it to the world. We built this building and all of this property here, and my distinct pleasure for the last 20 years is tearing down these walls and taking that message to the world. As we do that, I want you to know one thing. There's a lot of different statistics I want to share with you. These are just numbers, but these numbers represent changed lives. If you look at this, PowerPoint's heard daily on over 1,000 radio stations around America. This past week, we added American Family Radio that a lot of you listen to. Whether in the morning or in the evenings, we get to now listen to Pastor Graham's messages, PowerPoint Ministries on American Family Radio, which we added 183 stations with that. And as we talk about television and radio, we'll come to 400,000 people get to listen to our broadcast every week on radio. Bible in a year. We've added Bible in a year. We've talked about Bible in a year so many times. And I want to park here just for a second and let you guys know that 40 million people across the globe have downloaded that podcast. We'll show a video in just a second that we'll talk about different languages for that podcast. We will have the first language that will come out will be Spanish. It will be our pastor's voice speaking Bible in a year in Spanish. And we will produce that. It will come out this summer, and we'll celebrate that when it does. But that adds so many different aspects of ministry across the globe, whether it be in Mexico, Latin America, whatever it may be. Our goal at PowerPoint has always been to reach as many people as possible in this generation. And I can tell you one of the words that Pastor asks us to pick every year. And my word this year is remember. I want to remember what God has done, but I also want to, when we remember what God has done, we get to know that this is a timeless message that will go till a whole world hears. One of the greatest joys that I get to do every Monday is to share with my team that one of the greatest ministry endeavors that we have, or the missionary endeavors that we have from this church, is media. And that's where PowerPoint comes in. PowerPoint airs on 1,100 different television stations across the globe in 120 different countries. PowerPoint averages 2.5 million people that view our television broadcast every month. If you look at that, you have a lot of you watches on WFAA locally at 6:30 every Sunday morning. There's people all across the country and their local affiliates that get to watch that as well. We're also on TBN and Daystar and several different networks across the country. I want you to really understand and focus on what God does from this pulpit when these lights go out every single Sunday. We'll walk out of this worship center today, and the lights will go out, and that's when our job begins. Our job meaning Prestonwood. I have something here, and one thing that we do also at PowerPoint, we have a publishing arm. We take a lot of pastor sermons. We publish books, materials. We want to resource people to help them grow in their faith. We have a small booklet that a lot of you have seen. It's called New Life in Christ. That was started over 28 years ago when we wrote that booklet, and we have produced well over 400,000 of those that we've given away in the last 28 years. I have a book for each and every one of you. Wherever you sit and do your quiet time, I want you to take this book. It's called Moments in the Word. It's a daily devotional. We have a daily devotional that goes out on email every morning, but this is in print form. Wherever you sit, I want you to open this every day. There's notes you can take in it. There's things that you can do. You can dive into God's Word. And as you dive into God's Word, I want to challenge you to pray, continue to pray, that as we do what God's called us to do and the responsibility that we have, that He will use opportunities and resources like this to grow people in their faith. Thank you, church. This is not, and you'll see in the video, this is not a ministry that we hold in and to ourselves. This is our ministry. This is Preston Wood's ministry. And I just pray that you will allow us, by taking this envelope, give us the opportunity that you can partner with us each and every week. These are in the pews for you. Take this home. Pray about what God can, what you can do, and allow God to use your resources to allow us to take this message until the whole world hears. Let's watch this video, and thank you, church, for partnering with us for these 30 years in reaching the world with the gospel until everyone hears. God bless you.
Okay, are we ready? Have you ever felt a calling from God that was so big that you felt there was no way it could ever be accomplished? That's pretty much the way I felt when God first revealed the vision of PowerPoint Ministries to Deb and me. I never believed that my message could travel so far beyond the walls of Prestonwood Church campus, but in 1994, God had bigger plans. We started small, just broadcasting locally on radio and television stations here in Dallas. And now, 30 years later, I'm still amazed at the grace of God and the impact of preaching the gospel through media. As a result, every day we receive calls, emails, text messages, and letters from people whose lives have been transformed because of PowerPoint.
I had never in my life heard that God's love is unconditional. God used that radio program of Pastor Graham.
I've loved you with an everlasting love.
I'm just grateful how the Lord used PowerPoint, Jack Graham, and the opportunity to just share the story.
The investment of our members decades ago in media equipment, buying airtime and communications expertise allowed PowerPoint to keep broadcasting messages worldwide in real time. You helped us proclaim the hope of the world in living rooms, hospital wards, retirement centers, and through digital media. People watch PowerPoint on airplanes, in hotels, and on mobile devices in the most remote parts of the world. PowerPoint is Prestonwood's beacon to our local community, to the nation, and to the world. And the DNA of Prestonwood flows through the veins of PowerPoint. From our ministry vision, our financial stewardship, to our commitment of excellence in all things, and all things to the glory of God. PowerPoint is not a media ministry, but our media ministry. And this mission is truly exciting because it means we can share what we experience here at Prestonwood with millions of other people, taking the message proclaimed in our pulpit to more homes all over the world and transforming lives with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look to the future and the Pray.com podcast, we've had 40 million downloads to date. And soon we'll be adding additional languages, starting first with Spanish.
Así comienza la historia.
Then French.
Les étoiles, les planètes.
Portuguese.
De criatividade. E tudo aconteceu.
Mandarin.
上帝强大的话语完全展现出来。
And Hindi.
भगवान ने कुछ भी ना होते हुए भी कुछ बनाया。
All using AI technology. Isn't that amazing? Without you, none of this could happen. But I can guarantee you that in heaven there will be more people there than you can imagine because of your faithfulness to this media vision. We are all PowerPoint. And thanks to God's grace, PowerPoint and Prestonwood is changing the world.
Well, you know, truly, we take the scripture Ephesians 3, 20 and 21 here at Prestonwood, which says God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And this is true of the church, and it's true of the church's ministry PowerPoint. Our mission is to fulfill the great commission of Jesus Christ and to teach the Word of God. We really do two things at PowerPoint. We preach Christ and teach the Bible. Amen. That's what we do. And basically, that's what we do here in the pulpit each week. Preach Christ, the gospel, the good news, and teach the Bible. And thank you, Prestonwood. It's true what I said. This is not just a media or a media ministry. This is what we do together. I've never wanted to be anything but a pastor of a local church. And God's given me the privilege this year of 35 years here at Prestonwood, and 30 of that preaching the Word of God through PowerPoint. And it has been remarkable. And this whole thing, I know AI, artificial intelligence, can get a little scary sometimes for some of us when we think about what might happen. But we're pretty excited about artificial intelligence. You didn't know that I could speak in tongues, did you? And seriously, I don't know if you realized it or not when you were hearing those languages. That's not a dubbed in. That's not somebody else's voice. That's my voice, my tone in Spanish. In fact, Gilberto told me that I'm speaking better Spanish than him now. I don't know. But I do know that that's the big advance we're taking, and it is a costly endeavor. So when you think about that, when you think about your support of PowerPoint, know that it aligns with the mission of Christ and the church. Know that we are committed to a healthy organization that operates within the alignment of the church and the ministry of the church. I don't take a salary from PowerPoint. The church pays my salary and are very generous with Deb and me with our salary. So I don't object to people who may choose to do it other ways, but we have never taken Deb or me a salary from PowerPoint. So when you give to PowerPoint, you're not giving to an evangelist or a preacher. You're giving to the mission of the church and the mission of PowerPoint. So we keep our budget very low, and we do good work with a small staff and a group of consultants that help us do it. So that's just a little business keeping there. But thank you for praying for us. Thank you for giving so that this mission can continue and continue to grow. And we're being told with the Bible in a year that once we add the languages in, just Spanish alone, that this should go to 100 million downloads. And what's the whole thing? It's not, you know, most of these people that are hearing this, they don't know Jack Graham from anyone. But what they want is, what does the Bible say? When you're doing something through the Bible, what the Bible is all about, people want to know. People are hungry for the Bible. And so that's why so many people are tuning in, or downloading the podcast, rather, so that they can hear. And what we do is just walk people right through the Bible and what it means and how it applies to our lives. And it's now, just to put it in perspective, what 40 million is. It's number one on Spotify and all religious podcasts, number one on Apple and all religious podcasts, and number 14 in all podcasts in the world. And so that blows my mind as well. And all glory to God, all glory to God for what he has done and what he is doing. I'm going to ask our ushers to take your places now, and we're going to receive the morning offering as we do each week. This is a time to give your tithes and offerings, and please don't let the PowerPoint offering take away from your regular giving and generosity to our church. We are a generous church. I know that. And you are a generous person. So as we give today, we do with gratitude in our hearts to what God has done and what he is yet to do. Thank you, Lord, for every blessing that comes from you and for the fact that now blessed, we can be a blessing to others. We thank you for everyone watching and viewing this right now online. We thank you for everyone in the room. You have brought us here for a purpose. We're here to hear your word, God, to worship you. And even in this time of giving, let our hearts be turned to you in generosity and faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. And all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Of the goodness of God.
perfect Son of God in all his innocence. You're walking in the dirt with you and me. He knows what living is. He's acquainted with our grief. A man of sorrow, son of suffering. Oh, blood and tears, how can it be that there's a God who weeps, there's a God who bleeds? Oh, praise the one who would reach for me. Down in merciful pursuit. To the sinner you were grace, and the broken you embrace. And in the end, the proof is in your wounds. Yes, in the end, the proof is in your wounds.
Glory to God forever.
Once again, good morning, everyone, and to everyone online, welcome to Preston Wood, and I invite you to take God's word and turn with me in your Old Testament to the book of Joshua and the third chapter, and I have a big assignment in front of me today. I already know it because we've had a service here this morning already, but to cover two great chapters in the book of Joshua, and the theme that we have in front of us is a big challenge. But we are going to get there, I promise you. And if you'll give me the next 30 minutes and your focus on God's word, I believe you'll walk out of here encouraged and inspired and moved in your life. So Amen. Let me just say thank you to our incredible students who are up here today and our worship leaders. And it's always great. You can't imagine what it feels like to preach in an atmosphere like this that is just supercharged. God inhabits the praises of his people, and so his presence is with us today, always, but certainly when we exalt him as we just have in these moments that we've had together. I also want to encourage you to come back tonight at 6 o'clock down in our student ministry building, which is just down Main Street, down the main corridor of our church, for a night of prayer and worship. We're going to take about 70 minutes tonight, from 6 o'clock to just after 7 o'clock tonight, and we're going to worship together. I asked Caleb, our lead worship pastor, to organize a night of worship for us. And so we have incredible worship together. We're going to take time to pray for our nation and peoples around the world. We're going to pray for one another. We're going to pray for the sick. It's going to be an important time for all of us. So come tonight, again, 6 o'clock in the student worship building. And one more thing, speaking of Spanish, every week in this room at 2 o'clock, Prestonwood Espanol meets. 2,000 to 3,000 people come every week to worship. Gilberto Cordera, I mentioned him earlier. He really does speak much better Spanish than me, which is not saying a lot, unless I have artificial intelligence to help me. But he is truly, I do not exaggerate, one of the most dynamic preachers in all the world. He's listened to all over Latin America. And so our goal also is through the Spanish language, whether it is through PowerPoint or Prestonwood Español, and we're on television, Gilberto is on Telemundo and other outlets, so that we can get the gospel to as many people as possible as fast as possible. So it's all good. Defining moments are moments in our lives that we never forget. And all of us have had those kinds of moments. And when we look back, those defining moments, we celebrate. For example, we celebrate birthdays, our own birthdays, birthdays of our family, our children, our husbands and wives, and those are good celebrations. We remember something that happened that is good for today. And then, of course, there are wedding anniversaries or special days like today with PowerPoint Ministries. And it's important to remember the special days. I heard about a fellow who went off to work, and about mid-morning, his wife telephoned him and said something about the evening. She said, "Well, I can see you don't even remember, you don't even know what day this is." Well, now his mind is racing because he's assuming that he's forgotten a big day, maybe even an anniversary. So he takes action. He calls and orders flowers to be sent to the house. And then in the afternoon, a five-course meal arrives at the house. And someone comes in, a caterer comes in and sets the table and candlelight and the food. And he comes in from the day and he sits down. They have an incredible evening. His wife is a little bit perplexed, and she said, "This is an amazing dinner, but I thank you for the flowers and I thank you for dinner. This has been the most incredible Groundhog Day I have ever had in my life." So it's good to remember the right day at the right time, but big days, and of course that includes events and experiences in our life, both dramatic and perhaps normal daily experiences. People and places in your life, new beginnings in your life, the day you became a parent for the first time, the day you became a grandparent for the first time. I can tell all of you right now that there is nothing, I'm a grandparent now 8 times over, there is nothing hardly in life that compares to holding your child, children's children for the first time. Just get ready. Can I get a witness for all the grandparents here today? I mean, holding your children's children, that is an amazing thing. So we celebrate these kinds of things on a more sobering thought. We celebrate, or rather we remember, defining moments such as death and even divorce, the end of something. We begin celebrating the start of a career and maybe even the end of something. If you're a follower of Jesus, you certainly should remember your salvation and when you came to faith in Jesus Christ. I remember the day, I remember the decision that I made as a small boy in a little town in Arkansas under a tent where an evangelist came to town and preached. And I was so taken by the message of Jesus, grateful for a Christian heritage that brought me to that moment. But I can take you to that place right now where I responded and received Christ as my Lord. And so you can begin thinking right now, before we even get to our text, about some of those big moments in your life, life-changing moments. A defining moment, someone said, is a point in your life when you are urged to make a pivotal decision or when you experience something that fundamentally changes you. And not only changes you, but as followers of Jesus, changes you and your family forever. And that's what Joshua 3 and 4 is about. Now, I'm picking up where we left off last week because I only got one point of the message in last week. You remember that? So we talked about coming to the Jordan River. Israel has been in the desert wandering for 40 years. An entire generation has died out, and now a new generation is ready to take the land that God has given them, the promised land. And remember, the promised land for us as believers today is the promised life that God has given us. This life of abundance, this life of blessing that we've been promised in Christ, and to live a victorious Christian life, not defeated by circumstances or conditions in our lives, but living in the abundance that is Christ. It doesn't mean that it's always easy, that there are not battles that we fight. Certainly Israel, when they crossed over into the land of promise, there were big battles to fight and enemies to defeat. And when we cross over into this promised life in Jesus Christ, there are certainly burdens we bear and battles that we fight. So it's not perfect. It won't be perfect until we get to heaven. And we do know the end of the story, as we sang earlier, right? We do know the end of the story because in the end of the story, we are going to be in His presence forever. Now, I want to talk to you about these miraculous moments in our lives. Momentous moments in our lives when we cross over into the blessing of God. The big problem that Israel was facing that day, that you could be facing, is that there was a big river right in front of them. It was the Jordan River, and it was the spring season, the harvest season, and so the river was swollen, and it was a raging river, and they had no human way in order to get to the other side. So how is Joshua going to lead the people across this raging river? Something supernatural is about to happen. Miraculously, that river is going to part and the people are going to walk over on dry ground. Just as 40 years earlier, they had walked through the Red Sea on dry ground, God is giving now a new generation a miracle of their own, the supernatural. Do you believe in the supernatural? Do you believe in the miraculous? I do. And I define the miraculous, I define the supernatural as what happens beyond human effort or experience or explanation. Let me say that again. The miraculous is what happens beyond human experience, human effort, or human explanation. It is when God does something in our lives that we cannot explain. It is indescribable. But when it happens, especially when you look back in your life, when it happens, you realize it was the hand of God moving in your life. Even if you may not have known it at the time, it is indescribable but unmistakable. And so if you're going to experience this miracle in your life and the supernatural power of God to get you where you are and into the future that God has planned for you, we discovered earlier in this text that you're going where you've never been before. You've never passed this way before. You have a past, but you have a future, and maybe you're concerned about your future. Maybe you don't know what's going to happen next. Maybe you have questions about what God is doing in your life right now, and you need the hand of God to move. You need to see God move in your life. So how do you do that? Well, we saw initially that we are to prepare our hearts. We're to prepare ourselves for what God is going to do. The scripture says, sanctify yourself, Joshua 3. Dedicate yourself. Consecrate yourself unto God. For tomorrow, the Lord is going to do wonders among you. So get ready to move and get ready for the miracle by preparing yourself spiritually in prayer, in devotion, in dedication, and get yourself ready to go to the other side. That's what we talked about last week. But there's a second thing that we all need to do, and that is to focus on Christ by following the ark of God. Now, here's where we're going to read the scripture. Now, we're going to put it on the screen in case you need it, but I would encourage you to look at it with me in your Bibles if you have a copy of God's Word, beginning at verse 8 of Joshua 3. Here we go. And as for you, command the priest to bear the Ark of the Covenant. When you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. And Joshua said to the people of Israel, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. Very critical that we hear from God, that we listen to God. And Joshua said, here is how you shall know that the living God, don't you love that? We serve a living Lord, a risen Savior. Our God is alive. Amen. And he said, you will look to this living God among you, and he will without fail. How many of you know that God is faithful? That he has never failed you yet. And without fail, he will drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites, and the Termites, and no, that. But verse 11, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing before you into the Jordan. You haven't been there yet, but God is already there in your future. And God is leading you forward. That's the title of this series. Now, therefore, take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, from each tribe a man. That is, these men would represent the 2 to 3 million people. They were to be unified together and going across. So 12 from each tribe, one man from each tribe. And when the soles of the feet of the priest bearing the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap. And so when the people set out from their tents, remember these are nomads living in the desert, to pass over the Jordan with the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the Ark, watch this, as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan and the feet of the priest bearing the Ark were dipped into the brink of the water. Now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of the harvest, so this was a courageous move on their part to step in, to move forward. And the waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap from far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, and those flowing down the Sea of Arabah, that's the Dead Sea, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off, and the people passed over opposite to Jericho, that is, they went through. And now the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground and in the midst of the Jordan, and all of the Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over Jordan. That's an epic story. And they experienced this miracle, a miracle that enabled them to cross over into the land that God had given them. Now the question is, what in the world is this about? What is it really about? It's more than the miracle. It's about something you see in front of me here today. Have you been noticing that there's an Ark of the Covenant up here? Say, what is that golden box? Now, boys and girls, when we speak about the Ark, we're not talking about Noah's Ark at this point. But this is the Ark of the Covenant. And it is epic in Israel's history, and it's also, I guess, epic in movie history with the Raiders of the Lost Ark and Obi-Wan Kenobi and all of that group. But that is fiction. This is fact. The children of Israel possessed this Ark, and the Ark was made of wood and overlaid with gold. There are two cherubim angels on the top, the mercy seat where God and man met. And inside this box, and if I open this box right now, the elements are there that the Israelites carried from place to place in the wilderness, ultimately to place in the tabernacle where they worship God, and then in the temple, in the holy place, the Holy of Holies. The Ark of the Covenant went everywhere the people of God would go and led them forward. Inside the Ark of the Covenant were memories from the past, mementos, important memories from the past. One was the law of God, the tablets, the Ten Commandments. And then there was the rod of Aaron that budded miraculously. And then there was a pot of manna. God's children, Israel, were miraculously fed in the wilderness with manna, a divine bread that God sent them for provision each day. So what you have inside this ark are the law of God, and on top of the ark is the mercy of God, the mercy seat. You have the law of God and the love of God represented in this ark. So you have God's precepts in the law. Then with the rod that budded, you had God's power, a demonstration of God's power that they carried with them. And then the pot of manna, a demonstration of God's provision. And so we have all of that in Christ. In fact, you're going to discover that the ark is all about Jesus. The ark represents Jesus himself. You have God's provision, God's power, and God's principles or God's precept. This ark, by the way, beautifully done, is provided by one of our wonderful members who is Kenny Effendi, and he created this. It's half size. The actual ark is twice the size of this, so this is half scale. If you had a full ark, it would be about the size of this pulpit. This weighs 100 pounds. So I suppose the ark weighed around 200 pounds. And you see the poles that are here, and men would carry the ark with the children of Israel through the desert, then through the Jordan River, and then throughout the land of promise. Got it? Amen. That's what it is. But what does it mean? Jesus is the ark. And God led the children of Israel to take that ark on these poles and the priest to start. And it did take some courage to step into the water before it was splitting open. So these priests led the way, and as they carried the ark, the waters began to divide, and in the midst of the Jordan River, they were separated from the people by design by about 3,000 yards. 3,000 yards. And so it was about a half a mile. Why the separation? So that everyone could see it. All these people could look and see the ark. There was also a sense of the need of separating the ark from the people. The ark was going before them. You know, we need reverence for God in our generation. Amen. A fear of Almighty God. Not a fear that causes us to run from him, but that causes us to run to him and run for him. The fear of the Lord. And so, you know, God's not your homeboy. Jesus is not your buddy, but he's the holy God that we worship. Hallowed be your name, Jesus taught us to pray. And so while God is a father who loves us in sympathy and security and holds us dear, our Father is the holy God. So when I see this ark out separated, I realize that there is a uniqueness. In fact, there were people in the Old Testament who actually died just touching the ark inappropriately. Because the ark, are you listening? The ark represents the presence and the power of God. And so to get to the other side of wherever we're going in our lives, we must look to the ark. Hark the ark. We must keep our eyes focused on God. In the New Testament, we're told in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, that we are looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. So with all the resolutions that we make and all the dreams that we have, we really have one job as followers of Jesus. And that is to keep our eyes on the ark, to keep our eyes on God, to keep our eyes fastened and fixed on our Lord as we go forward. Because with all the distractions and things and all the fears that, can you imagine? I mean, this had never happened before. These children of Israel were brave and bold, and they were following their commander, Joshua, but ultimately they were believing God for a miracle in their lives. And the miracle comes. Remember what a miracle is? Something that God does that we can't explain, without explanation, without human experience or effort. When God's hand moves, we know it is Him, and we know it is Him because we're looking to Him and we're believing Him. And He makes a way for us. I love the words that my friend Don Moen wrote years ago. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see, because I know my God will make a way for me. He will be my guide and hold me closely to His side with love and strength for each new day. He will make a way. He will make a way. So as you look at your uncharted paths right in front of you, when you look at perhaps obstacles like a big river that looks uncrossable, you need a miracle. You need God to move in your life. Get your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the power and the presence of God in your lives and move forward. Just keep trusting God. You will, listen to this, you will never go anywhere God has not gone before you. Amen. And He is faithful. We sang earlier, the goodness of God. It's a great song. I love it. Most mornings I get up, get a cup of coffee, and say to my friend, Alexa, play the goodness of God. And I start my day with those words. And I love that part of it when it says, His goodness, His mercy is running after me. You see, it's not only before us, but it's behind us. And we're going to get to that in just a second. But you know, really, the only reason we should be looking back is to see the goodness and the grace of God that has followed us all the days of our lives. Surely, the psalmist said, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So really, the only real good reason to look back too much is just to see those mercies of God that are chasing after us every single day, and to give thanks for the faithfulness of God and the goodness of God in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so now, focus on the ark. Focus on Jesus. If you want to cross over, if you want the miracle for God to move, and then when you cross over, when you get there, God says, stack some stones. Okay, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, look in chapter 4 of Joshua. And you're going to have to look and read fast, because I told you 30 minutes and we're round in third right now. All right? But I want to tell you this because it's very important. I want to show you this. So what happened when they got on the other side? When God gave them the miracle they needed. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, each one a man from the tribe, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan. Remember, the Jordan is dry now. So he said, go out, get 12 stones from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodged tonight. That place was called Gilgal, which means a circle. So they were camped, they were circled up. And Joshua, this is verse 4, call the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he appointed, a man for each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone. This was a big stone on the shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask, okay, are you ready for this? When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean? When you tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, when it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. Verse 21, and he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers, pay attention, dads. I mean, it goes for moms too. But dads, listen to this. When your children ask their daddies in times to come, what do these stones that you have stacked up here mean? Then you shall let your children know Israel passed over the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until he passed over. And then watch this, verse 24, so that all the peoples of the earth, tell your family, tell your children, and till the whole world hears, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of God is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Hallelujah. That is our calling now, because we have come through to the other side. We have followed Jesus. We have safely arrived to a place that God has promised us. And now God says, stack up some stones. Some monument, a monument, some memories. I mean, we do this in America, of course. Go to Washington, D.C. Look at this is President's Week. Look at the Lincoln Monument and the Washington Monument, the Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Monument. There's the Jefferson and many other memorials that you see there in Washington, D.C. and other places. We have statues. We have symbols. We have things. We have stationed various kinds of symbols and memorials all over this building and around this building as markers and memories of what God has done. You see it in the stained glass. You see it in the statues out front. You see it in what has happened in the past that is memorialized. You see miracles turn to memories and memories to memorials. What's he saying to us? Stack some stones. Always testify of what God's done in your life. Never forget the poured out blessings of God upon you and your family. And dads and moms, we have this incredible opportunity to raise up another generation so that when our children ask us, why do you follow Jesus? Or what has God done in your life? Why are we here? When your children ask you the big questions of life, you can point them to Jesus. And you can tell them of the one who saved you, the one who has changed you. You know, it's important that we have markers and memories. We even keep them around our house. You know, things that happened in the past. Maybe some are trophies. Well, God has given us trophies from the heart, victories that we have won in Christ. And yes, let's share the good times. Let's share the joy with our children of all the victories that we've had, the successes in life and all the rest. But God has called every man and every woman in this place to tell their children, and then ultimately our children's children, of the God who is to be loved and followed. This is on us, dear people. This is on you and me. We are only one generation away from the end of Christianity as we know it. Unless we tell our families and teach our children well. And then beyond our families, as I read that last verse, so that the whole world will know.
Amen.
This is what we do. Because he said, go into all the world and make disciples. Go everywhere preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've seen miracles. I've seen many miracles in my life, and so have you. When God answered that prayer, when God gave you that open door and opportunity, when God took you places you never imagined you would go, when God blessed you with those children, when God blessed you with a family, when God moved in you in your life and brought you back to him, you were away from God, a long way away. You were a prodigal living far from God, but he chased you down. His mercy and his love wouldn't let you go, and it was a miracle, and you had a new beginning in your life. Stack some stones. Tell the story. Let people know what Jesus has done in your life. So you want a miracle in your life? When your children ask, what do these stones mean? You tell them about the ark. You tell them about Jesus. You tell them about what he's done in your life. So that in God's plan and God's purposes for them, they will carry the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, from generation to generation.
Amen.
Let's stand together. I'm going to ask that every head be bowed and every eye closed. As you know, we never close a service here at Prestonwood without giving people an opportunity to say yes to Jesus Christ, to follow him. So here's the good news. Here's the gospel we preach. God loves you. God has a plan for your life. Those of you watching online, please listen, as well as everyone in the room. God loves you. He has a plan for your life. He's loved you with an everlasting love. But our sin has separated us from God, and we are broken. We are broken. But because of Christ, who came and lived and died on the cross, we can be forgiven and made whole again. We can have peace with God. We can have peace within. And he died for us that we might be forgiven. And he rose again on the third day so that we would be alive in him forever. He is the living God.
That's right.
And so invite the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, into your life with this simple but sincere prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I have sinned and broken your commandments. But right now, I do trust in you, Jesus. Thank you for loving me and dying on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again. I ask that you would give me everlasting life. Help me to know that I'm going to heaven now and forever. And may I live to tell this wonderful story of your power. You know, the greatest miracle is the miracle of salvation.
Amen.
You know, God can just snap his fingers and perform a miracle of any kind. But it took his own darling son, Jesus, to bleed and die on the cross for you and I to be saved, for you and me to be saved. So I pray that that miracle will happen to you. Say, thank you, Lord, for loving me, for leading me to yourself today. I'm looking to you to save me. And then I'm going to ask you to pray one more thing. When we sing in just a moment this hymn of decision, people are going to be praying. I'm going to ask that no one be leaving the room. This is such a tender moment for people. So we're all in. We're going to be praying. I would ask that you pray for yourself. Pray for the people around you, in front of you. You probably don't know most of their names, but pray for people to come to Christ. And if you need Christ in your life, if you're trusting Christ today, I'm going to ask that you come forward. And one of our pastors will meet you here and upstairs to solidify your decision. There's something about coming forward. We want to give you materials. We want to give you a Bible so you can walk out of here knowing that beyond a prayer that you prayed with the pastor, that you know, that you know, that you know that you're going to heaven, that Christ is living in your life. And online, there's a number, 74788. You can text 74788, the word Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, to 74788, and we are ready to connect with you as you make your decision for Christ wherever you are. And we'll send you the same materials that we're giving to people here in the room today. Lord, take now these moments, turn them to miracles in people's lives. Bring people unto yourself. Give us, Lord, the boldness and the courage and the faith to stand for you and to step out to believe you and trust you. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text the word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.